Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Leeds United Live with myself, Conor McGilligan, your multimedia editor and podcast producer. And I'm joined by Jordan Blackwell of the Leicester Live part of the branch, the company. Jordan, how are you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Conor. How are you?
Yeah, good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Jordan is fresh from the press conference. Is it Brendan Rodgers? Was it today, Jordan? Which helps
yeah,
a lot.
It was. Yeah, yeah. I'm just sat in the translation booth at the back of the back of the media room at the moment. So yes, not long finished.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, I mean, we don't have that anymore. We did have the translation.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Sort of thing going on. And this is actually the first live stream we've done, Jordan, since the announcement. So you're part of Leeds Live history here, mate. It's obviously Jesse Marsh taking the reins at Leeds United, which is it's going to be an interesting day tomorrow. And I wanted to get Jordan's perspective here as well, really, on this because... You know, with everything that's going on at the minute with Leeds United, sort of awful form, et cetera, in a strange sort of way, Jordan, this has come at a bad time, really, for Leicester, hasn't it? Because notoriously, when managers are sacked in this division, there can be a little bit of a boost. And we know with this Leeds United side, there's definitely quality there. So what's your general take on it, mate? Are you a little bit sort of apprehensive about what could come tomorrow? Because we don't even know what's going to come, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I think James Maddison said that Leicester was sort of going in blind, which I think that's probably a fair assessment. In that, it's I think you knew what you were getting with a Bielsa team. So I think Rodgers didn't say it was the case, but I think there is maybe a little bit of misfortune in terms of not, you know, maybe they're probably some of the backroom team may have been preparing for this game for a few weeks. And now they've got to maybe change the way they look at it because it is a different manager with a different style of play. To be honest, whoever came in, it was going to be a different style of play because, you know, Bielsa is unique and Rodgers was keen to make that point this afternoon. But yeah, I think it's, obviously Leicester can focus on themselves, which is the key thing because they have been better themselves recently. But I think, yes, I think they'd have probably given the... 20 goals conceded in the past five games. I think, I think Leicester would quite like to have played against a team that was on such a bad run like that and still under the same manager.
Yeah, 100%. Steven's in the building. I was really impressed with Jesse in yesterday's press conference, really hoping he can steady the ship and get us the points we need. Yeah, the press conference was epic, and I do feel sorry for you football writers, Jordan, having to transcribe all this sort of good stuff. He sounded really sort of good in what he was saying, very positive towards Marcelo Bielsa, which I think, as you'll know, Jordan, there's been an outpouring. It's been a morning for Marcelo Bielsa this week. And listen, I think we're all grateful for everything he's done at this club. And listen, the club have made the decision, so we move on, and it's a new era, really. And I think, to be honest, Jordan, we're all extremely apprehensive. And quite interestingly as well, I was speaking to a Leicester fan the other night, and in terms of accomplishments, obviously it's completely different with who I'm going to compare sort of Bielsa to. But Ranieri brought sort of a different culture to Leicester, didn't he? And he'd do stuff off the field as well. And I think it's quite a nice comparison to Marcelo Bielsa. And obviously there was a little bit of a mourning after Ranieri left Leicester as well. So I think there's quite a nice comparative there.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of, you know, there are similarities in that they are, you know, both men who've come from overseas, but have really taken to the new city that they've moved into. And that, you know, and they've been welcomed in by the supporters. That's the thing. Bielsa will always sort of have a home in Leeds now, you know, no matter what happens in his career or in his life over the next few years. Leeds will be part of him. And it's with the club, Bielsa is going to be, remembered by, by his tenure is going to be remembered by a lot of fans. And it's one of those managerial departures where there is absolutely, well, certainly from an outside point of view, it certainly feels like there's absolutely no bad blood whatsoever. It feels like, a disappointing parting of the ways. And I know that the there probably will be a, you know, a bit of a split in the Leeds fans, but I think there would have been some that kind of appreciated it may have been a point where maybe a managerial change was needed. But because of everything that he's achieved and because of the way he's gone about it, because of all the success he's brought, it was a little bit similar to Ranieri in that there was, there was no anger, there was no good riddance or anything like that. It was just a bit sad that it didn't work out. And I imagine that's the, I think Leeds fans will probably be going through the same emotions at the moment.
That's definitely right. Definitely right. So the game tomorrow, Jordan, huge game for both clubs. Leicester have been an interesting proposition this season. It's, I don't know, they've not really lived up to the hype. It's been a bit of a strange one, hasn't it? Their recent form hasn't been great, but obviously they got a really good win at Burnley 2-0, returning Vardy and Maddison. But what can you tell us about the season so far, Jordan? Obviously, you know, you guys came to Elland Road and it was, once again, a bit of an odd game. What exactly has been going on with Leicester this season?
I think the key thing, and it felt significant at the time, but 6 months on, it still feels like the kind of, it tells the story in that when Wesley Fofana broke his leg in the final pre-season game, you felt the atmosphere in the ground change. Obviously, there were a few fans there for the game. Yeah. And 6 months, you're kind of thinking, well, that's, you know, just before the start of the season, that's a really big blow for such a good defender to go out and to be ruled out. And you're kind of hoping that they sort of negotiate it, but they haven't really. And I think that's been the story of the season, is that defensively, they have been porous, and there's kind of been injuries on the back of Fofana where... they've had other players, fullbacks and centre backs out, and they've never really been able to field a consistent defence. I think the defence that started at Burnley, that back four, is the defence that started the most often this season, but they've only played together six times from 37 games that Leicester have played in all competitions. And actually, they won't be able to play together again on Saturday because it looks like Ricardo Pereira's a doubt for the game. So this looks like it might be Mark Albrighton at right back. You know, so things like that, a winger filling in at right back because they've got James Justin is still out, Timothy Castagna is out, they've had Ryan Bertrand's out till the end of the season, Johnny Evans has barely played. All those injuries have mounted up on them, and not being able to field a consistent defence hasn't helped. In terms of the actual play as well, it's not been as good this season. Maybe at the start of the season, maybe there was a little bit of nervousness from the attacking players regarding the defence, in the sense that they thought, well, if they risked a pass and it didn't come off and the other team started to break on them, the defence, they didn't have as much faith in the defence to sort it out for them. So they stopped taking the risks. What I would say is that they kind of reached a low point with the FA Cup defeat to Nottingham Forest at the start of February. Which lost 4-1 against a local rival that they've not played in a few years. That did really feel like a low point. But there has been a response to that. I would say that the last three performances, even though they've only got 4 points from the last three league games, I would say they were among the best performances of the season, and the performances that were most like the team that people have come to expect of Leicester over the past couple of seasons. Certainly Tuesday's game against Burnley, that was the performance that would have looked at home in either of the last two seasons when they finished fifth. So in terms of a Leeds sense, they're facing a Leicester team that it's taken them 6 months, but they finally seem to have found their feet again in terms of re-establishing the form and the displays that they showed last season.
So did we hear anything from the press conference? I'm not sure if you just mentioned it there. Was it about James Maddison and obviously Jamie Vardy? Is that full fitness and raring to go sort of scenario?
Yeah, James Maddison has got a lower back problem, Rogers said. And he said he was a doubt and he was questionable, but it sounded to me like they won't risk it. So I think I do think he'll miss the game. But he didn't start against Burnley, and there's kind of been although he's probably the team's informed player, in the system that they're playing, that they've sort of come across the past three games that's really worked for them, doesn't really fit into it. So it's a bit of a unique one with Maddison. But I don't think he'll play. Jamie Vardy, I imagine, will start. I think now he's played 20 minutes, he'll have enough energy to go from the start. And I think no matter what's happening in the game, I think he'll probably only last an hour. Because I don't think they want to push him too hard. I think, although he's pretty superhuman, they do have to consider that he is, you know, 35, and that maybe playing him playing him for a full game only a week or so after he's had 2 months out is probably not the best. But obviously they've got options in Patson Daka and Kelechi Iheanacho, who can play up there as well. Daka's a very similar striker in terms of his style of play. So, but I expect Vardy to start and maybe play an hour, which when your defence is shaky as Leeds is at the minute, coming up against Jamie Vardy is probably not what you want.
Yeah, because I mean, the new manager coming in, Jordan, he said that they've been working on a new formation. He's played several formations before: 3-4-3, 4-2-2-2, a 4-4-2 diamond. I'm interested to get from your side exactly what formation and what style of team do Leicester notoriously struggle against?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that... Well, Rodgers really likes to win the midfield battle. And I think if another team were to pack the midfield and therefore make it so that Leicester's midfield couldn't win that battle, then I think they would struggle. But in terms of formations, I don't think there have been occasions where they've kind of let themselves down in terms of support for the fullbacks. They've tried a diamond themselves at points this season, which obviously often does leave the fullbacks a little bit exposed. But I think the way the wingers that they're playing at the minute, so they played Mark Albrighton at right wing on Tuesday, and that's very much a case of, well, there's a winger that's got to track an advancing fullback. So there's not a, you know, they're kind of negotiating these issues. It looks like Rodgers is very much thinking defence first at the minute in terms of his team selection. I think any team that, potentially this season, a team that plays with two strikers has probably had a little bit of joy in the sense that the defensive partnership hasn't always looked so strong, and there's been a few wobbles in there. I think Amate and Soyuncu will play again together on Saturday. So yeah, I don't think there's one specific thing. I think there are small places that Leeds could get at Leicester. But as I said, it does feel like the team that Leicester are putting out at the minute, in the shape that they're putting out, this kind of, I suppose you could say it's a 4-1-4-1, maybe a 4-3-3. It does feel like it's a system that works for them, and that they've finally got the balance right after 6 months of not necessarily getting it right.
Well, that's perfect news, Jordan. Great news. Vardy back and the perfect system. So that's fantastic. Tommy Hansen says, Leicester looked toothless before Vardy and Maddison came on against Burnley. It will be interesting to see what type of leads we get tomorrow. And that's what we're referring to right at the start, Jordan, with regards to neither team, one out of the two camps, knowing, you know, what sort of team is going to be put out. But, you know, neither fan base, nobody really knows. So it's, as I said, do you fall in? I mean, we just mentioned it at the start briefly, but do you think that, I mean, you expect it would be quite a difficult proposition as a sort of an opposition manager coming up against the guy who, I mean, they've never coached, you know, they've been in that game state before. Rodgers won't, he might not even know who he is. It's without any disrespect, it's a difficult proposition, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that you kind of have to kind of look at Leeds as they have been under Bielsa, because obviously as much as Marsh can do in 3 days or however long he's been working with the team, he's not going to be able to, yes, he can make some changes, but there's still going to be elements of Bielsa's setup and his way of playing in there. But then you could maybe look at how Leipzig played and how Salzburg played under Marsh, so, and sort of take a look at that and maybe think, well, he might use this style that he brought, that he tried there, you know, this set piece setup or things like that. yeah, you kind of have to go looking everywhere to try to find what the manager might do with these new players. So yeah, it is a little bit of a guessing game, but also you don't want to, on that front, you know, Rodgers won't then want to give his team loads of instructions about, well, they might play this way, they might play this way. You need, if they play like this, you've got to play like this. You know, it just becomes too confusing and too overwhelming for his own players. So in that sense, then you're saying, well, let's completely forget about what Leeds are going to do, because it is at this stage, it is a really guessing game to know exactly how they're going to play. So let's just focus on ourselves because we know we've been playing well. So yeah, that's a tricky one because I know Rodgers, I know there are some teams that that only ever focus on themselves and back themselves to that their style of play will win against any opponent. But I think Rodgers does try to put one or two things in there to guard against what the opposition does. So yeah, be interesting to see how much they do of that. Given the kind of the contrast between what we've seen of Leeds over the past couple of seasons, and also, but then also what Jesse March's teams usually play like.
Yeah, last time we faced up, it was one of the more frustrating games for Leeds because you know it took us quite a while to get into the lead. We did great atmosphere at Elland Road, and then within seconds, Harvey Barnes had pulled out arguably one of the goals of the season. It was an incredible finish. What did you make of the game, Jordan? It was very nip and tuck, wasn't it?
Yeah, you were right about the atmosphere. The atmosphere was really good for the game. It felt like, I think I remember some of the reporters saying afterwards that it was, up to that point, it had been one of Leeds' best performances of the season.
Very good.
I think Leicester was still going through that kind of iffy patch where they weren't quite playing to the right level. I did feel like the draw was the fair result at the time. I think Leicester struggled with the intensity of Leeds' play at times because they weren't so settled in their own way of playing that it just became slightly... it became a bit overwhelming for them. The one good thing, I think it was indeed he'd been out for a period. I think it was his first game back, and that did help them in that there was a bit more of a solidity to the midfield that they hadn't had for the previous few games. So that was really helpful. I think, if I'm remembering rightly, I think that was one of Ndidi's best games this season. But I do remember it being an exciting game. It always is against Leeds. I think that the game at the King Power Stadium last season where Leeds won 3-1, that really felt like Leeds had... I know Leicester took the lead in that game, but that felt like Leeds had Leicester's number in that game. Leicester were on a really good form going into that game, but they couldn't cope with Leeds, and I think they ended up getting the two late goals to win it. But again, that was a game that I remember Leicester didn't have Ndidi in that game. And I think when the game is so back and forth, as it can be when you're playing Bielsa's Leeds, you need somebody like Ndidi in there to kind of maybe stop it being so back and forth. It's kind of, it just breaks it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's I remember it being a very enjoyable game. Not quite as enjoyable as when Leicester won 4-1 at Elland Road the season before, but I think there have been exciting moments in the game, and I thought Leeds looked a threat from set pieces as well. They had players, which I mean Leicester are rubbish at them, particularly.
Oh, Jordan, we can trump you on that one. I think we've conceded. I think it's 12 this season. So I think that's one. The new guy, Jesse Marsh, has to come in and rectify that. He really does. It's been way too easy. But in terms of Leicester, then, just for people who aren't aware, which you know we can't all profess to watch Leicester week in week out. What style of football does Brendan Rodgers deploy there? Just so you can educate us a little bit on it.
Yeah, so it will be mostly possession-based. What he likes to do is he likes his defence to be really high and to pen the opposition in. So once they get on the attack and they get into their rhythm, then the defence will come up and they'll sit on the halfway line. Kind of the two centre-backs with the maybe one of the full-backs will stay a little bit deeper, and then Ndidi in front of them. And basically, they'll be pressing high up the pitch to force the opposition to basically lump it because they can't find a way out. And then when they lump it, Soyuncu or Amate or Ndidi or whatever picks up the ball and they get the attack going again. That's, if Leicester were playing the game that Rodgers really wanted them to, then that's how they play. Then it's a case of moving the ball in attacking positions, trying to find the space for the likes of Tielemans. Obviously, Maddison won't be playing, so it will mainly rely on Tielemans to, you know, kind of split the gaps, find get the balls into Vardy. I think Barnes will be a key player. I think that, as you mentioned him there, and scoring that very good goal at Elland Road, that period of the season, Barnes wasn't at his best. The last few games, he's been really good, and I think they brought a lad called Kieran Dewsbury Hall into the team, who I can't imagine many Leeds fans will know, because he's not a big name. He was out alone at Luton last season. He's only really broken into the Leicester first team this season. But the way he plays in midfield, he's really opening up space for Barnes, and he's getting Barnes on the ball earlier. And Leicester's best route to goal, if it's not a Tielemans pass, Leicester's best route in terms of turning midfield into attack is getting Barnes on the ball and just letting him run with it. Because he is very direct. Every time he receives the ball, his first touch takes it closer to goal. He never checks back. He's immediately heading towards the box. He's very, very quick. He can go both sides. He can go, as you saw, in the Burnley game, he went on the outside and crossed to Vardy for the header that went in. He can go on the inside and have a few shots as well. He had a couple of good chances that Nick Pope made really good saves. So I think in terms of the attacking play, Barnes will be the main outlet for them. So whoever's playing at right back for Leeds, if it is a back four, then needs to be certainly wary of that. But yeah, I think that's how Leicester would play. Attacking wise, and I think defensively it's a case of getting as many players back as they can. I think one of Rodgers' many mantras is that don't sprint forward if you can't sprint back, so making sure you've still got the energy to get back and defend at all times, because you know Leeds are a team that do move forward with the ball pretty quickly when they want to, so Leicester will have to be wary of that.
Yeah, it seems from the style of play, I don't know how much you know about Jesse Marsh, but it seems like there's instead of Leeds playing very, very wide, which we have been doing, it's going to be a little bit more compact. It's going to be aggressive in terms of man for man. That's out of the window now. It looks like Leeds are going to be pressing as a unit. So what, you might get a pack of five hunting after a sort of a trio in the corner of the pitch or whatever. We're yet to see anything of it, of course, but how do you see that sort of working, Jordan? Just obviously, it looks like it's going to be a vertical press, working a lot more centrally instead of out wide, which has been, you know, Leeds out wide has been the main source, really. Rafinha, Jack Harris is spreading the play as much as you can. But I guess if you're more compact, it's easier to get a little bit more zonal.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, because I think you tend to kind of do zonal pressing and things like that. And you know, and work as a team in that regard, so that you conserve energy. Because, you know, if it was a total man-to-man marking, you use up a lot of energy. But the thing is with Leeds, they were so good at it that they didn't seem to ever run out of energy. So I actually think Marsh will be able to kind of introduce his pressing tactics pretty effectively straight away, because he's going to have players there that have got the energy to do it and they've got the willingness to do it. So I think that's going to be interesting how Leicester cope with that. They've generally been getting a little bit better in terms of dealing with a more intense press, but they certainly are better when they're playing teams that I'm thinking Manchester United, when Leicester played them at home. it was just like, it was genuinely really easy for them because right. there was no pressure on the ball. And if there's no pressure on the ball, you're letting Maddison and Tielemans do what they want. And they, you know, they're very good footballers. Mm. I do think in terms of that aspect of what Marsh tries to introduce, I think he will be able to get that immediately, and we will see an immediate impact in terms of that kind of that zonal pressing. And so I think pressing is all about the timing. You've got to time it right. You've got to know when to go, so that you can be sure that you're going to put the opposition aren't going to be able to play around it and get into the space that you're inevitably leaving behind. And I think a lot of that is about players' judgment. But I think Leeds have certainly got the energy to do it.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be an interesting transition, mate. It seems like it's going to be very different to what it was. A lot of, like you just said there, you just mentioned timing, and that's what it seems to be. It's all about cues and triggers, whereas before it was just individual duels across the pitch. And, you know, if you beat that duel, if you won your duel, it opened up so much space. So I think that's where Leeds were really struggling. Yeah, I guess, Jordan, we can finish on this. But what are your thoughts in terms of how the game's going to go? I know it's very much up in the air, but I mean, I'd push you for a score prediction as well. But I know, it's going to be very difficult for you. But if you can sort of give a little bit of a thought process on that, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think the way that Leicester have approached their recent games, I think that it would probably be fairly light on action to start with. I think Leeds will be feeling their way into it, and Leicester will want to focus on the defensive aspects of their game first, and then, you know, maybe go a little bit more attacking later in the game. So I think I'll say goalless at half time, and then 2-1 to Leicester at full time. And I think I've seen all these score predictions coming in. I think I'm going to be disagreeing with a lot of them, but
it's just to primarily put you off.
I think Leeds will score. I think, I'll say 2-1 to Leicester.
2-1 Leicester. Okay, well, I'll go with a 4-0 Leeds. No, I'm joking. I'll go with it. I think it's going to be tight. But to be honest, Jordan, I'm going to ask you one more question. But with the situation at the minute, I think a lot of Leeds fans will take a 2-2, 1-1, score, draw, anything. We just need to stop the rot at the minute. And finally, mate, there's a lot of pressure on you for this question, really. There's over 100 people watching. So, do you honestly believe, Jordan, that Leeds are going to stay up this year? Do you think we've got enough? Do you think the managerial change was the right decision at this moment in time? What are your overall thoughts on it, mate?
Oh, it's really tough because they've kind of hit they're on a downward trend at the wrong time. Mm. I think if you're going to be in a relegation battle, you want your downward trend to be at the start of the season and you now be getting towards your upward trend, a bit like Newcastle are.
Burnley.
Yeah. But what I would say is that there are certainly lots of teams that are in that situation, in the same situation. Everton don't seem to have had the new manager boost that you would think they've had. I know they've won a couple of games in the FA Cup, but I think they've only won once in the league under Lampard.
We won't talk about that, but okay, yeah, let's keep going.
I think there's Brentford on a bit of a downward spiral as well, but I think they've had a tough run of fixtures. So when the fixtures turn around for them, they might pick up results because I thought they were very good earlier in the season and they just didn't quite get the results to show for it. I think Leeds will stay up, I'll say. I think right now, I will say that it will be, I'll say Everton to go down with Watford and Norwich.
I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of it with Everton. A lot of people say, because they've not got a good run either, I don't think. They've got maybe Crystal Palace at home and Wolves maybe at home, but they're not easy games, are they?
But Leicester have still got to play them twice, so Leicester could have a big impact on that season.
You could do us a favour. You're a real favour.
So Leeds probably felt they had to take this gamble with changing the manager. if they can get the, you know, a new manager boost only needs to be, you know, three wins, and that all of a sudden you're escaping it. Because, you know, people were even looking at Leicester in terms of being in a relegation battle.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
You know, up until the Burnley game. But they've got a win now. They're up to 30 points, and it feels like that, you know, they're far enough away from it. But I would say that you're, certainly from what I've seen, what I saw of Marsh's press conference, I thought, well, he seems charismatic. He seems like the sort of manager that a team are going to respond to. You get the impression from the Leeds players that they're, you know, they're going to be the sorts of players that will, you know, they're going to, you know, Bielsa has instilled the fight in them that they're going to show for whoever, I would say. It doesn't matter that it's a new manager. So I think they will have enough to stay up. Yes, I don't think they'll finish any higher than 15th. But I think, yeah, I think they will survive. Yeah, I'll take a gamble on saying Everton will be the team to fall away.
Yeah, it's not easy, this Premier League stuff, Jordan, especially when it's been promoted. It's really not easy. So, yeah, I think this season's been a shock to a lot of people, but it is what it is, mate.
Yeah, I should say at this point, I was on a local radio show at the start of the season, and I was asked to predict my top six, and I put Leeds in sixth. So I've got it really wrong.
I heard a couple of those. You're not by yourself, Matt. I've heard a couple of people say Leeds sixth, seventh, and it was
just because of how they finished last season. Really thought, you know, they'd come on, and you know, they've got some, you know, people like Rafinha, you know, high quality players. But yeah, so I do genuinely hope they stay up.
Well, I guess that would be the reason as well, Jordan, wouldn't it? You just mentioned Rafinha there, but Calvin Phillips looks like he's coming back in the next couple of weeks. Bamford could possibly be on the bench for Leicester, and you feel like 12 games is more than enough games. 36 points, a third left of the season to really pick yourself up.
Yeah, and I think Roger said it today, and I think it's I think it is a good point. Yes, Premier League squads, generally most Premier League teams have very good squads, but if you take two or three players out of there, it does make a difference, because it doesn't, you know, Rodgers was making the point that Leicester having Johnny Evans, Wesley Fofana and Jamie Vardy missing is like Liverpool having Van Dijk, Matip and Salah missing. That would make a difference to Liverpool. You know, Leeds have had Phillips, Bamford and Cooper, I think, has been out, who would usually start as well. So, you know, that is significant when you've got that many starters that aren't in the team. It does make a difference. So yes, if they get those players back, particularly Bamford, having, you know, if you're a new manager coming in and you've got a striker that scores goals and can act as a kind of focal point. From what I've seen, at least, they seem to have been chopping and changing who starts up front. And it's not always been like an out-and-out striker or anything like that. So I think having Bamford there, knowing that he's going to play and he knows how to be a striker, he knows the right runs to make and things like that. He's got that goal-scoring knack of being in the right place. So, yeah, that will certainly help. So, yeah, Leeds to stay up.
Comprehensive, love it. Right, Jordan, where can everybody find you? I know you'll do some good stuff with the company as well, so why don't you let everybody know so we can
go
and research when Leeds have won the game.
You find all the reaction and the analysis on the Leicestershire Live website, but that's the leicestermercury.co.uk. I'm on Twitter, just take the vowels out my first name, and that's my Twitter handle. There was somebody else that got there first with all the vowels in the name. So
that's a challenge, isn't it?
I'm JRDN Blackwell on Twitter. So if any Leeds fans do want to find me on there and then sort of have a go at me if they don't stay up after I've predicted them to, then by all means do so.
Yeah, it's all your fault. Thanks so much, Jordan, for joining. Everybody, if you've just joined and you want to listen to this on any audio platforms, it will be available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and all your favorite audio providers. So make sure you check that out. Jordan, thanks so much for joining, mate.
No problem, Connor. Thanks very much.
And we'll see you in a bit. Cheers.